God never intended you to live on limited energy. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains how your life can be radically changed through the power of God.
God says, I have a purpose for your life, that we might bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say, when your child is well behaved and your child says thank you, and your child could have gotten in a bad way, but instead chose to do that which is right, and someone says, that was wonderful how your child behaved, you are able at that moment to say, glory to God. Thanks be to God.
Life can sometimes be overwhelming, and balancing all the competing demands we face can be a challenge. But God desires to give you a supernatural strength that only He can give. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Power of God, Pastor Chappell offers biblical insight and simple steps that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. As you apply the truth of God's Word, your life will change in ways you never thought possible. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Power to Intercede.
Former President Ronald Reagan liked to tell the story about a young news reporter. He was really trying to get a start in the news business, and his editor called him up one day. He said, there's a terrible fire out at Palos Verdes, and we want you to get some pictures of the fire. And he said, what I want you to do is go down to the airport. He said, there's going to be a plane ready for you there. I want you to get in that plane. I want you to fly up above the fire and take several shots for the paper tomorrow. We want to really cover this story with the best of our ability. Well, the young reporter was excited with the opportunity. He grabbed his camera, he got in his car, he rushed down to the airport. Sure enough, he walked out towards the tarmac. There was a plane fired up, engines were revved up, and he got into the passenger seat and they took off. And as they got up, going about 5,000 feet or so, the reporter looked over at the man there in the pilot's seat, and he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I've got my camera ready. He said, I want you to turn over towards the smoke over there. I want you to level off. When we get close enough, I'm gonna take some pictures and so forth. And that's when the photographer heard those very unsettling words. The man in the pilot seat said, aren't you the instructor? Now, trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's leading is like trying to fly to Palos Verdes or Catalina or somewhere else without a pilot in the seat. Every one of us need to learn how to rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One of my favorite verses is in your introduction to the notes this morning. It's Romans 8 and verse 1, and it says these words, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Don't you love the first part of that verse? There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How many of you that are saved this morning are thankful that your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ? There's no condemnation. We have freedom from the law. We have freedom from sin and death. We are the sons and daughters of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The fact is, however, though, that we are still living in a very sinful world this morning. While we are redeemed, while we are the children of God through Christ, we are living in a sinful world, and God commands us to walk in the Spirit, to live according to His Spirit's plan, not according to this world, not according to the desires of our flesh. And in order to help us with this spiritual walk, the Bible teaches that when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our life. We saw a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have learned in previous weeks, the Bible says we are to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says we are to yield to the Spirit. The Bible says we're not to quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit, but we're to walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit in turn will comfort us. He will guide us. He will direct us into a Christ-honoring life. This morning, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit, who lives within the lives of every believer, has a desire this morning to help us with a matter known as intercession. That is, He wants to help carry our burden to the Lord. He wants to help carry our burden to the throne of grace in heaven. He helps us with our prayer. He helps us carry the burdens of our lives. He is the comforter. He is the intercessor for the believer. Today, as we learn about God's power to intercede, I want you to learn about the help of the Holy Spirit provided within the heart of every Christian. If you have your outline this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, that this help is a heavenly help. It's a heavenly help. Now, people seek help in a lot of ways. Some people pay psychiatrists for their assistance and counseling. Some people go to counselors, and others buy drugs, and some try alcohol and other such forms of vice to try to ease their pain. But God says, I have help for you, and my help is a heavenly help. It is the help from my Holy Spirit living within you. Notice in verse 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also, what's the next word say? Helpeth our infirmities. Let's say that together, that line, ready to begin. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So this heavenly help is given to us, first of all, to strengthen us. God says, in your life, you're going to have some weak moments. You're going to have some trying days. You're going to have days where your heart is breaking, where the tears won't stop flowing. And I want you to know that I'm giving to you my Spirit. He is an equal person of the Godhead. He is going to indwell you, and he is going to strengthen you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 gives a little more light on this subject. Notice it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God places us into the family of God. He seals us until the day of our redemption. And he says, I'm going to give you the Spirit that cries out and says, Abba, Father. That reminds you that you're a part of God's family. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now let's think about that for a moment, being the children of God. Having a heavenly Father that wants to help us and strengthen us. Moms and dads, those of you that have had children in this room this morning, you would testify to me that when you have observed your children with the flu or maybe mumps or chicken pox or whatever your kids came down with, every one of us would say it's disheartening. It's burdensome to see our children in such pain. It's never a joy. It's always a grief to see a child or a loved one in pain and struggling through. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God is there to help our infirmity. And the word here, helpeth, means to lay hold or to take hold upon or with another. And even as a mother would cradle her child in his fever and in the flu and in the difficult time, and even as a mother or father would take and cherish a child and help a child during that infirmity, there is a God in heaven who sees and knows of our infirmities. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 4 says he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit of God helpeth with our infirmities. He is the one who comes along and says, you can make it another step. You can go along the way. I am with you. I am with you. Every one of us want to see that for our own children. But God says, I am your Abba, Father. And I want to come alongside of you and help you make it through. And I want to tell you, there is a God in heaven who loves us so much more than we love our children. He loves us so much more than we love our grandchildren. And he knows we have weaknesses, and he knows we sometimes have trouble getting through the day. And like a parent or a grandparent, and with such greater love, God the Father through his Spirit says, I'm going to come alongside of you when you're weak, and I'm going to help you in the time of your infirmity. You see, all of us have infirmity. All of us are weak. All of us need the infilling of the Spirit to guide and direct us. Andrew Murray wrote much about this life called the Spirit-filled life. He said, may not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for him to fill full of his Spirit and his love. He says, I want to help you with your infirmity. I want to fill you full of my Spirit. The word infirmity means our weakness. It means the infirmity or weakness of one's body. And every one of us have such need today for God's strengthening to help us take another step, to help us make it through another day. When God speaks here in Romans 8:26 about infirmity, he no doubt is speaking of the overall condition of fallen man, All of us are living in a difficult age, in a difficult day. All of us have battles that we must fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are infirmities today that we must fight, but not in our strength, only in the power of the Holy Spirit. In general, we are weak and infirmed with continual battles to face. All of us need God's strength. Now, sometimes in our lives, we might think, well, you know, my job's okay, my finances are okay, my kid's okay. No one in our family is sick, and we may not really realize how much we need this heavenly help. We may become a bit self-sufficient in our mind, but how many of you have learned that right about the time you think you've got it made, a set of circumstances comes that reminds you, you know what? You're going to need the Holy Spirit's help once again. You're going to need the interceding power and help of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul spoke about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He had been stricken with a tremendous disease. Many scholars believe it was a disease of the eyes. And in fact, he went to the Lord three times. And by the way, contrary to the teaching of some false teachers, it is not always God's will that everyone be healed. And if there ever was a candidate for divine healing, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Would you not agree with that? He asked three times for his healing, but instead of giving healing, God wanted to give him a measure of his grace and the power of his Spirit. We read about that in 2 Corinthians 12:8. It says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," Jesus said unto Paul, "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Say that with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. One more time. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Why? Because Romans 8:26 says that when we have infirmities, the Holy Spirit comes to help us with our infirmities. Paul said, "I would have never known the divine touch of God. I would have never known the power, the strength, the encouragement. I would have never known the encouraging word of God had I not had some trials in my life, had I not had that weakness." And you see, as long as you think you're strong and as long as you think you're self-sufficient, you will go along in this life, but maybe without knowing the real power of God in your life. But Paul said, "When I finally realized that I was weak, it was then that God's power rested upon my life." Now, I've never met anybody who would say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities." Most people today are not real happy about trials and difficulty. But Paul had come to that place in his life where he said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." In other words, if this is what it took to get me to where I needed to be in my walk with God, then I will most gladly thank him for it. God says, "I want to strengthen you by my Spirit," verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." But notice, secondly, he says, not only do I have help to strengthen you, but he says, "I want to also guide you." He has strength to guide us during these times of difficulty. Verse 26, the Bible says once again, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." The Holy Spirit at certain times in our lives is prepared even to guide our prayer life and to help us to know how to pray. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where you were so overwhelmed by the challenges and trials that you faced. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where the news was so difficult that all you knew how to do was simply cry and weep, and you had prayed and prayed to God but didn't really know what else to say. You didn't know how to verbalize to God the brokenness of your heart. Well, the Bible says that at those moments, the Spirit of God will help us to pray as we ought. He will make intercession for us. And the Bible speaks of this in Romans 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Frankly, if you are not saved today, this service is foolishness unto you. You are a natural man who does not possess the Spirit. But if you have been born again by the Spirit, then God says, I can guide you when you don't know where to go. I can help you pray when you don't know what to say. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will help you. You are not alone in this life. I am going to strengthen you in your time of infirmity. I am going to guide you when you don't know how to pray, when all you know is emptiness of soul and bitterness of soul, and you cry out to me without words, God says, I am going to verbalize for you at the throne of grace what needs to be said by my Spirit. Many years ago, there was an accomplished organist who was known for rousing renderings of all the popular numbers. And it was back in a day when someone would be in a back room and they would be pumping up an airbag so that all of the wind could get into the pipes of the organ. And as this particular gal was playing her concert, the billows were being blown and the pipes were being provided the air by the efforts in the back. And she came to the point where she would now play her last number. And so she stood up and everyone had been clapping and she announced her last number. And she said, I shall now play. And she announced the number. She sat back down. She stretched her arms. She got ready. She put her hands down on the keys and nothing happened. Well, she was a little frustrated. She tried again and nothing happened. Well, a moment later, someone walked out from behind the platform and said, why don't you say, we shall now play? And apparently the person in the back pumping all the air into the pipes wanted a little bit of credit for the solo that was now being announced. Can I be honest with you? There's not a person in here who really walks with the Lord who can say definitively, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. But if you're growing this year in the understanding of the Holy Spirit's ministry, you'll learn to understand this fact. It's not I, but it's Christ in me. It's by His Spirit that we witness. It's by His Spirit that we sing. It's by His Spirit you stay married. It's by His Spirit you tell someone about Christ. It's by His Spirit you forgive. It's by His Spirit you learn how to pray effectively. It's all because of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Holy Spirit will guide our prayers. And may I say, the Holy Spirit understands our pain. There are times when people say, how's it going? You don't even know how to verbalize it. There are times when people will try to come along and figure out the circumstance and you don't have the ability to explain what you're feeling within your soul. But you don't have to explain to an all-knowing God who already understands what is in your heart. Notice the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we see as we pray and as we have a broken heart and don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit has empathy. The Holy Spirit brings the groanings of our heart and the burdens of our heart before the throne of grace. He understands what it means to suffer deeply. The Bible says in John 11 and verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, He groaned in the Spirit and was troubled. You understand that Jesus Christ, who groaned in the Spirit because of the loss of loved ones and the pain that was being experienced by His disciples, that He knew how to empathize. And the Holy Spirit likewise understands when your heart is broken and helps to convey the feeling of your heart before the God to whom we pray. The Bible says in verse 26, He makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And this is not a reference to some type of an ecstatic gibberish or the unknown tongues that some would try to force upon a new convert. This is not talking about the phenomenon related to first century revelation. This is speaking about the burden of a heart being carried to the throne of grace by the Holy Spirit of God. God says, I want you to understand when you walk through the valleys of life that there is one who will offer heavenly help. And that one indwells you, and that one wants to guide you and strengthen you. And his name is the Holy Spirit of God, the heavenly help of the Holy Spirit. All of us, when we walk through the valley, need the heavenly help of God's Holy Spirit. But notice, secondly, the Holy Spirit not only provides heavenly help, he not only helps us with our infirmities, but secondly, he provides a holy knowledge. Now, it's one thing to have encouragement. It's another thing to have encouragement according to knowledge, and the knowledge of God in particular. Would you notice with me, please, in verse 27 what it says? And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now, God's Holy Spirit, first of all, knows our need. He has knowledge to know our need. May I say to you that when you're going through stress, when you're stressed out and going through the trials, you may not even know your own heart. You may not even know what's going on with your own emotions. I have seen many Christians get in a point of stress and make irrational decisions. And all of a sudden, they go out and buy something they shouldn't buy. They go out and say something they shouldn't say. They go out and move somewhere they should have never moved to in the first place. All of a sudden, they start acting like a ping pong ball in a bowling alley, going back and forth because they don't even know their own heart. By the way, how many of you would admit that stress sometimes has a way of making us a little foggy in the way we think? And here we see a truth. That when we don't even know our own heart, there is a God in heaven who searches our heart and who knows how to pray what is best when we may not even know what to say. And this is what it says in verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God Almighty examines our heart. That's why the psalmist would often pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. You see, friend, when you don't even know what's going on in your own heart, You may say, well, I'm okay. I think I'm going in the right direction. But in reality, go in the wrong direction. When you don't really know what's happening in your life, maybe through a midlife crisis, as some would call it, or maybe through a time of stress because of sickness or loss of employment or all of these things together. When you just say, I just don't know what's going on in my life. Hear me this morning. There is a God in heaven who knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart. And you would be wise to seek his wisdom and seek his guidance. He says, I have knowledge of your need. But notice, secondly, he has the ability then to intercede on our behalf. Sometimes you might say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray for. I don't even know what's wrong in my life. Lord, I don't understand why I feel the way I feel. But God does. And the Bible says in verse 27, because he maketh intercession for the saints, watch this, according to the will of God. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, I don't understand my heart. I don't even understand my needs, but you know my heart. And God, if there's anything in my heart that's wicked and wrong and sinful, Lord, show it to me that I might confess it. And God, once my heart is right, I don't even then often know what to exactly ask you for, but I ask you, Spirit of God, to help me in my prayer and help me to do the right thing and show me how I ought to pray and what I need. And the Spirit of the living God conveys not only your burden, but he conveys your need to the throne of grace that your prayer would be answered according to the will of the Father in heaven. As Jesus himself prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, listen, friend, the great need of the hour is not necessarily having my will done in heaven, but it is having God's will done on earth. And we must come to that place of saying, God, show me your will and help me to see it accomplished in my life. And so he helps us to know our need, and then he intercedes on our behalf.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.